3 weeks ago, we dove headfirst into the sixth chapter of John's Gospel, and we have been there ever since. And we will be there for one more week. The repetition of the "I am the bread of life" over and over a four-week period can feel like slugging through mud for preachers. How much bread language can we stand? And why does this drag on Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? The quick answer to the second part of that question, why does it drag on so, or why are John's words so seemingly repetitious, and why didn't the lectionary diviners skip ahead, is that these words of Jesus, this self-description by Jesus of himself as the bread of life, is foundationally important. And so, while I have avoided the gospel readings from John in my sermons for the last few weeks, we're going to spend this week and next week wrestling with what it means for us, what we take away from all of this "I am the bread of life" talk. But before we do that, we need to be remembered how we got here, what John has been trying to tell us all along. John, unlike the other three Gospels, known as the Synoptic Gospels, takes us to another level of understanding who Jesus is. And who Jesus is of paramount importance to John. What John wants us to come away from this Gospel with the understanding, the belief, is that Jesus is the living, breathing person of God. That Jesus is God incarnate in human form. At the time of John's gospel that it was coming into being, many questions had arisen about the truth of Jesus. Since Jesus was born like every other person before or since has been born, was he merely a human being who was later tapped by God, specifically at his baptism in the Jordan River, as something special? Was the dove descending and the voice of God that named him the beloved in whom I am well pleased what conferred Jesus' divine status? Or was Jesus entirely divine so that his life was not lived like our lives? So that he didn't actually experience the horrible pain of his life ending on a cross? Because of the swirl of conversation and debate about who Jesus is, John writes his gospel to set us straight. Jesus is the incarnation of God. He is God made man, and he is fully human. For our faith as Christians, both of these realities, hard to hold together as they may seem, must be true. On the first week of our adventure with the sixth chapter of John's Gospel, we heard the story of the miracle known as the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus and his close friends have crossed the Sea of Galilee by boat and discovered that the masses of people in need have seen and heard of his healing miracles are there as well. It's getting on to time to eat, and they are nowhere near a restaurant. And even if there were an array of places to eat or buy food, they have no money. Through the miraculous turn of events, Jesus provides food for the masses, and there is a great amount left over. This is an abundance story. It's fullness of God's generosity story. It's a story that makes everyone want to jump up and join the Jesus bandwagon. If he can do this amazing feeding thing along with all the healing we have seen, what else might he be able to do for us? It's important to know that John renames miracles as signs. A miracle is just that, a phenomenal, out of the ordinary, maybe even cosmic event for which there is no physical or scientific explanation. A sign, on the other hand, points to something beyond itself. Think about that. We have any number of signs on the road and other places that tell us when to stop or yield or merge or exit. Signs are not there for their own purpose, but to direct us beyond the sign itself. And that is precisely how John uses this term. The miracles of Jesus are not self-reflective. They are signs to point us to a deeper truth, the truth of the incarnation. After the feeding of the 5,000, the folks are understandably enthralled with Jesus and what he might be able to do for them. They find Jesus returned to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and the people ask Jesus how he got there without their notice. And he begins to try to move them beyond their need-based, immediate gratification-driven thinking into a deeper level of understanding. Jesus says, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." These people respond basically, "Just tell us what we need to do. Show us again what you can do so we can see it and believe what you're telling us. Our ancestors had manna in the wilderness. What are you going to do for us?" It may be a bit surprising that they brought up the manna in the wilderness just after having witnessed Jesus feeding 5,000 people with baskets left over. How quickly we seem to forget. In response to their mention of Moses having provided food for their ancestors in the wilderness, Jesus reminds them who the true provider is and what the provision actually is. He says, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." The people, in a brief moment of clarity, respond, "Sir, give us this bread always." And so begins the "I and the bread of life" passages. In that glimmer of a moment, the people are able to move their understanding beyond the miracle to the sign. The miraculous healings, the expelling of demons, the feeding of multitudes to that which Jesus points, the one who offers the bread for the life of the world. Unfortunately, their grasp in the moment is fleeting, as so often is when we encounter Jesus. And so he must reiterate it over and over what he has to offer to the world. New bread and new life. An entirely open way of understanding. If you thought that manna was something, you should see what this bread has to offer. Manna provided food for a day, maybe two if the day was the Sabbath, but this bread of my life, of the life of Jesus, provides life to the world. But the people did not say, "Amen." They said, "What?" After the response by the people, "Give us this bread always," when Jesus said, "The bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world," he went on to say, "The bread is my body, and the blood, my blood, is the drink." And that caused all sorts of problems. All the signs and the miracles in the world cannot reshape our thinking about what we've been taught from the beginning, said the people gathered that day. "We do not drink blood. Only pagans do that. And we do not eat the flesh of humans. That is cannibalism. And we do not engage in those sorts of banal behaviors." And yet, John makes that foundational to who Jesus is and what he has to offer. And how do we make sense of this? And what does it say to us? Come back next week to see. Amen.